All right, remain seated. You can honor the Word of God sitting down. I'm going to go a little slow. Go to John 14, verse 16. Now, I'm nervous. I'm scared. I'm sick. I'm lonely. And I was hoping y'all would go on and I wouldn't have to preach. Here's what Jesus said prior to going to glory up before Calvary. He's getting ready to die, and he said, now here's what I'm going to do for you, church. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Trinity. You got God the Father. You got God the Son. And you got God the Holy Ghost. Now, here's what he said. I'm not going to leave you without power. I'm going to send you another comforter. Now, if you go get a piece of pie out of a pie, you'll say, I'm going to go get another just exactly like I ate. Huh? So now he said, I pray the Father that he'll send you another comforter. Even the Spirit of Truth. Lady asked me about prosperity churches. Don't believe in them. Whom the world cannot receive, but Paul that seeth him not, neither knoweth him. Verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. That's what the Bible calls it. Holy Ghost. Whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you, look at it, all things. You said, I didn't know. Read the book. And bring all things to your remembrance. You're going to get up to preach someday, and if you hide the Word of God in your heart, you may not have a Bible, but you got it memorized in your heart. Now here it is, verse 7, chapter 16. Nevertheless, I tell you, now he's not speaking to the church down the road. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. John 8:32, the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, Christ said. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him. Not a thing, he's a him. Amen. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, for it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That means continuous. Now, Jacob was a believer, and he was a crooked fella, a church planter, and he had to meet Esau, that's a type of the flesh. And before he met Esau, he was scared. He couldn't face the flesh. Esau was going to kill him. And I want to tell you tonight, your flesh will kill you one day. As Jacob was running back home, he made a plan. But while he had a plan in his flesh, he met God. And he had a wrestling match, Genesis 32. first part of the night, God was holding on to Jacob. The last part of the night, Jacob was hanging on to the Lord. Now, when God filled him with the Holy Ghost, he changed his name. He changed his talk. He changed his walk. He changed his ways. He changed his action. He changed his attitude. He changed that long tongue that set on five hells. You get behind your walls and you talk about the man of God. You talk about the method of God. You talk about the machine of God. Some of you women, your tongue is set on five hells. I don't like you. Well, I didn't come here. Praise God for popularity. You've been in churches. You've been out of churches. Amen. You're like a Mexican jumping bean. You're the criticizing somebody today. I don't like you. Well, if you haven't turned the door, I carried one. My last night, I got my scope. I'm headed home. Now, you better listen to me. Everybody's leaving these churches and going to Bebopalooza. Come on. Every Baptist I know, all them churches, I used to be a Baptist. Did I tell y'all? And I'm a Republican, and I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not a libertarian. So I don't lie. I didn't ask you what you like. I said I'm a Republican. I'm a King James man. I'm a Holy Ghost man. I'm a blood man. I'm a man of God. God saved me from hell, took me out of jail, and Jesus was my bail. You better get you a backbone. Oh, they've been too ugly. You can look ugly at me all you want to. Huh? I've wrestled all night and all day. Some of y'all need to get on the altar. Got an opportunity, but you didn't do it. And you need to confess your rotten bitterness, your prejudice. Say, God, I'm like Jacob. I can put on a face in church. I can get religious. But I have no victory. I have none. Oh, I'm going to try. Amen. Now, here's the deal. I'm not preaching that's not biblical. And when he is come, who? The Holy Ghost. We're in the Holy Ghost stage. Everybody said, fill my cup, Lord. We're not in the cup age. We're in the river age. You don't have to sit there dead. He didn't come to give you death. He come to give you life. What gives you death is S-I-N, sin. Well, I wear my dress real long. Got a real long tongue, a man or a woman, a boy or girl. And when you get in church, you can't worship. Because your conversation has not been right. All right? Now, here is some things. I just throw that out. That wasn't in my outline. I preach outlines. I just don't get tied down no more. Now, how many of y'all going to heaven tonight? Well, none of this is going to hurt you, help you. You told them yourself, man. I'm going to look at the emblem of the Holy Ghost, then I'm going to preach a message about that alone. Number one, the dove is an emblem. Speaks of beauty, gentleness of spirit, character. Matthew 3:16, when they baptized the Lord Jesus, that's good enough for him, it's good enough for me. I don't want a drop of water on my head. Baptized. Hello? Matthew 3:16, this is my beloved Son, Holy Ghost lit on. Then a tail's emblem indicates security of Spirit's great proprietorship of His love, Psalm 4:12. I'm going to say something, and somebody said, I don't believe it. If you believe the Bible, you'll have to believe it. When God saved you, God filled you, God didn't give you temporary salvation. John 10:28, Ephesians 4:30. God saved you, and God filled you, and God's going to keep you. Well, Steph, I believe that, I'd live like I want to. Oh, no, you won't. God, let me say, in redneck terms, if you get out of the will of God, Hebrews 12, you're a son and you're not a bastard. That's what the Bible says. And you get out of God's will, He's your father, and God will beat you. Oh, I know they're not preaching that now, but I'm going to preach that. God will beat you, and God will beat you, and you may go home early. So was Peter. That's an emblem of the Holy Ghost. Last time I preached this, I was Roger Mundy, India. Then you've got the holy anointing oil. It's emblematic of the Holy Ghost character and claim as the Holy One. Exodus 30:25. We've lost our character. You know what character is? It's what you are when you're by yourself. No HBO, no Cinemax, no vulgar books, no dirty books, no nasty talks. We got character. The lady at the motel says, you've got a magnetic spirit. No. If it wasn't for God, there's not a one in here I'd be afraid of, and I'm 73. God saved me, God sealed me, and then God filled me. And I'd get sick of holding a grudge. I'd get sick of talking about everybody. I'd get sick of dirty books. I'd get sick of dirty movies. I'd get sick. All that satisfied me was a ball game. Ain't no ball game satisfying me. Ain't no baseball, football, volleyball, golf ball. What satisfied me? If I get in the house of God, and while they're the singing of that, the Holy Ghost gets a spilling around in the house. You ought to make up your mind tonight. That hair lifts the devil and Harry Truman. I'm going to get filled with the Spirit. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to witness for God. I'm going to stand for God. I'm going to raise my children for God. Now, I'm more scared than what you are. Because there's three things people won't preach on. The home, hell, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Then, the acts of anointing. is suggestive of the Spirit's consecration. Grace inhabits in qualifying and ministering in divine things. Leviticus 21:10. The oil is typical of the Spirit's grace and illumination of His teaching. Acts 10:38. You got any oil up here, Brother Ed? Where's the name? Right here it is. Amen. I will keep it up here. I think I'm going to have a little before I get done preaching. Don't you wish this call to preach? God put it on you. Fire is an emblem of the Holy Ghost purification and penetration of the Spirit's operation. Amen. Isaiah 6, Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of unclean people, and a seraphim went to the altar, took a burning coal, laid on his mouth, burnt the hell out of him. Come on now, I'm the one that's preaching. I don't have to apologize. Then Isaiah said, God said, now who'll go? I'm going to have some of you men that's been called tonight. Are you going to let your wife hold you back? Isaiah said, I'll go. I said when I was a young man, I couldn't hardly read, couldn't hardly write, couldn't bless God, speak good hillbilly. God said, Leroy, will you go? I didn't know He meant into the Middle East and everywhere. I thought He meant Elijah. Now then, all over the world, God filled you full of the Holy Ghost for service. He filled you full for service. Now, my car has got had an empty tank of gas. I don't know who put the gas in, but I say much obliged to you. It's full. Brother Gary said, get you some Lucas. He said, put about that much in the gas tank, drink about that much. Now, I didn't drink none of it. I said, what will that little dab do? He said, you'll get 2 or 3 more miles per gallon. Now, what I'm preaching on, I'm giving you 2 or 3 more miles per gallon. If I had a good voice, I'd just go outside and holler all down through St. Mary's. This lady over here from China, one of my men was in China in front of a Buddhist temple recently. And a young lady come up, and they love to speak English to you if they know English. He said, why do you come here? I said, I don't know. I just come over here to pray. I don't know nothing about them, and I'm not picking, I'm just telling. And he said, well, how would you like to have Jesus in your heart? And you can pray anywhere you want to pray. She said, I believe I'll take that deal. She's Chinese. She bowed right down there in front of the temple, and she turned and said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Here's her testimony. When she left, she said, I don't ever have to come back over here no more, do I? Oh, no. Said, you can go to the house of God and pray anywhere. Amen. God's a moving all over China. God's a moving all over Japan. God's a moving all over, bless God, all them eastern countries. While hell's a breaking loose in Egypt, Iran, and all them places, there's sinners getting saved by the grace of God, because the Holy Ghost is all over the world. I was preaching to the man in Detroit. Detroit's got 680,000 Muslims, if I count right, what I heard. A Mexican come down and got saved. A Hindu come down and got saved. Different ones come down, here come a brown man. I said, where are you from? He said, well, you preached on what it took to shake Jerusalem. He said, I'm from Jerusalem. But when he got back up, his old mama had been praying for him. He got saved by the grace of God. While I'm in here, you got missionaries all over the world stomping and crying and giving out tracts and loving sinners and knocking doors and driving buses, taking them, bringing them on motorcycles. I'd like to tell y'all, great God Almighty, amen, the church is not dead. It's called somebody get saved here. All over the world, they're getting saved by the grace of God. I've been to Cuba 200 a week, say. Guyana, 200 a week saved or more. Let me tell you what, God, I may not go much further. I don't even know. God loves you. He ain't near as rough as I am. He died for you on the cross. Ain't nobody in here has to go to hell. Ain't nobody in here has to be lonely. Right now, when I'm preaching, that little gal right there, buddy, she done good tonight. I don't know nobody's name. I just know their faces. Huh? What made a difference in her singing? She done met a man with a plan. Amen. It wasn't Nebuchadnezzar, hallelujah. It wasn't Ronald Reagan. She met the man, Christ Jesus, our Lord. He come to save sinners from their sins and from hell. Don't go to hell for nobody. You see why I want no Brother Gary to go on. Let's look a little further. If you have to leave, I won't get upset with you. I'm thinking about leaving myself. It's bothering me a whole lot. The rain designates the abundance and grace of the Spirit supply. Deuteronomy 32:2. The atmosphere portrays the elements and use of the Spirit's exclusive. Galatians 5:16. The wind. You hear preachers get up and say, the wind is blowing. Huh? John 3 says, the wind blows where it listeth. You can't tell which it comes or which it goes. The river proclaims the abundance of Spirit supply and the plenitude of the grace of God. John 7:30. New shadows forth the refreshing and fertilization of the Spirit's presence. Deuteronomy 32:2. Amen. The water in the Word of God is the Word of God, symbolizes the effectiveness and sufficiency of the Spirit's ministry. John 7:37. The earnest, the promise, and the sample of the Spirit's promise of glory. St. Corinthians. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of things. I'm going to make a little short sermon. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Is that right? And the earth was without form and void. And the Spirit of God moved up on the face of the water. Verse 2. Now that Spirit of God right there, Genesis 1:2, is like a hen sitting on a nest of eggs and going to hatch out. Hello? That's like putting eggs inside an incubator. Amen. You put them eggs in that incubator, they stay so long, here comes some little birds out of that incubator. And then the word fluttereth. That's like an eagle fluttering over its nest, resting upon its eggs. They're going to be some little eaglets. Come on. Amen. Amen. God said, 6 days, Spirit moved. Light came. Land came. Moon came. Stars came. Vegetation came. Took him 6 days. And he sat down and rested and saw it's all good. God's seen everything about it. Amen. Now, I want to give you a couple of things and I'll bring the message. The Holy Spirit has run in water. John 7:37-38. In that last day, that great day of the Spirit, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, if you're not thirsty tonight, you're already wanting to go. Huh? Now, in the Bible, in Genesis 2:10, was one river. You remember reading that? Well, that river broke out into four prongs. You had Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. That first one prong was called Pison, P-I-S-O-N. Now, what that river produced was gold. When the wise men came to Jesus, Matthew, they brought gifts to Jesus, gold, spikenard, frankincense. The next river, Gihon, it compassed the whole land of Ethiopia. Now the gospel is going all over the world. Unger's dictionary said water of the gentle brook of the waters of Shiloh. Hiddekel, the next river. Unger's dictionary says it's the ancient name for the Tigris River. But you know what they call it? Here's the tale. It's called the Cradle, the Fertile Crescent. 1,146 miles that flows into the Persian Gulf and goes upon all them banks and they have crops. But the point I want to make, we got missionaries all over the world. Praise God that they're preaching the gospel under the power of the Holy Ghost and they're bringing fertility. And the Lord added the church daily. Church, it shouldn't be saying. The Euphrates River. The river flows through many cities, including Babylon, where all the trouble's going on. It's 1,700 miles long, goes to the Persian Gulf. Running water is a picture of God's fertility. Now, here's the message tonight. Give me about 15 minutes. So you said some rough things. I had to do what God is dealing me with today. Have you ever, ever been filled with the Holy Ghost? Question. Well, when I got saved, I got all God had. Well, what did he say? Be not drunk and wine, where is excess, but be filled with Spirit. And over there in Acts, why did he say, take out six men full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom? Everybody's not filled. You have no victory. When you get filled, you may face death. You may face bankruptcy. You may, I had 30 preachers to turn against me. You may lose everything. But you know that you're in God's will. Then you sing a song, everything is going to be all right. Now, Luke 11:11 said, if you'll ask for the Holy Spirit, he'll get it. Now, Acts 1, what were they doing in Acts 1? Praying. Always after prayer, Brother Gary. Always after prayer. God shows up when you're ready to pray. So in the upper room, they were praying. What happened in Acts 2? The Holy Ghost fell, 8,000 got saved. Now, at Cinnamon Street, one time, 2 years, we stayed in continuous revival. You got in there, didn't you? You know how many was saved in about 2 years' time? From 500 to 700. Where did they go? They went to Cinnamon Street. Where did they get baptized? They got baptized at Cinnamon Street. The other night, there's preachers all down through here. They got saved in that meeting. That young man right there in that purple shirt got saved in that meeting. Then his mama got saved in that meeting. His family got saved in that meeting. You know what it's going to take to have real revival? We met every Saturday night and we prayed. for 25 years. And son, one day it started happening. Man told me to pray for the latter rain. There's an early rain and latter rain. Early rain and a latter rain. And one day it started raining. We'd start singing Amazing Grace, 15th, and come down and get saved. We'd start singing Sweet Hour Prayer, 10 more, come down and get saved. Football players, baseball players, wrestlers. I mean, they're to get saved left and right. And everybody sort of turned their back on me and said, oh, y'all are Pentecostal. I don't give a Philadelphia rip what you call me. I've seen the Holy Ghost, the real Bible work. And the Holy Ghost can still do a Bible work in the church of the living God. You get saved from hell. Then you get filled with the Holy Ghost. You get saved from public opinion. Why, every independent Baptist, they won't let me pray. And I booked up something. Huh? Do you know that I believe God can do anything? I'm not talking about tomorrow. I'm talking about right now. I wouldn't doubt before I get over this message, somebody's going to write Brother Ed a check for $1,000 for that building. Well, it's not me. No, you know to have your motorboat and fishing tackle, all them guns, while the world goes to hell. Now, let me tell you something. I was in Guyana, and a little old girl come down. She was a Muslim. My wife was praying with her. She was expecting a child. And she said, Lord, I committed this thing on Monday. I committed another sin Tuesday. About like, you know, Wednesday, I committed another sin. Finally, she looked up at my wife. Now, this is important. She said this, will God forgive me of all my sins? Miss Gill said, God will forgive you of everything you ever done. She lived for God 11 months. Her husband had his hair down about right here, pigtail. 11 months later, I went back to that a church. We met under a building. 27 got studied. They had buildings on stilts. And guess who was one of them? Her husband. Somebody said, why did you get saved? He said, my wife has lived faithfully for God 11 months. He hadn't had a job in several years. He got a job the next day. Then a baby had a hole in its heart. And that night, God healed that baby, the hole in its heart. Huh? I ain't telling you something I heard. I'm telling you something I was involved in. We don't serve a dead God right now. Right now. Whatever you need. I believe in prayers specifically. If somebody gets to bother me, I just ask God to kill them. Thing gonna get saved, wipe them out. Huh? Read your Bible. Old David go out and kill about 100,000 a day. Philistine, the picture of the flesh. Our flesh is gonna kill us. Our churches are dead across the land. This is one church I walk in. It's got God in it. You know how much God they used to have over here? About that much. Now, I'm preaching now. I'll say what I need to. Old Brother Donnie probably filled the early grave. Long tongues. The harder he cried, the more they'd fight him. Well, say, his wife's tough. Thank God she is tough. What y'all ought to do is go hug her neck every time she walks in. And old Brother Ed was sitting right here, wasn't he? He's about as dead as bless God cracking Jack juice. I'm not criticizing his personality or his person. He's dead. And they wanted me to preach, and every time I come, I'd almost blow my gallbladder out. They wouldn't move a lick. They love to fight. My tender right, Ms. Davis, loved to fight, darn. Some of Donnie's sisters, I didn't say all of them, had nowhere been faithful. I don't know how mean she's been, probably hasn't been too, but I've been mean. And I told her, Ed, I said, now, Ed, I know where I'm at. I said, this church will never rise any higher than you are. And you know what I was telling him? Get on the altar and get filled with the Holy Ghost. You know what he done? Next time I seen him, his attitude changed. His thoughts had changed. All that went out of his heart. And I'm honest. I believe he's the lovingest, one of the lovingest preachers that they are in Georgia. I believe he loves everybody everywhere he goes. Praise God, I don't care if they're black, brown, pink, or purple. He'll stop and hug them and pray with them. What happened to him? Cornbread, he got filled. Had a Jacob experience. I wish y'all hadn't preached this. It's pretty tough on me. It's hurting me. Oh, man. Now, here's the deal. I give you about three or four thoughts. It's exactly 8:25. Number one, if you're going to be filled, Romans 6:11, you got to reckon yourself dead. Brother Gary, go over and put your hand on the wall. It's like you're on a cross. Now, what I read, you got to reckon yourself dead. Now, he's got a spike in that foot. He's got a spike in that foot. He's got a spike in that hand. He's got a spike in that hand. A dead man ain't going to give you no trouble. Thank you. Dead men that spirit feel will not give you one ounce of trouble. They'll never make a derogatory statement about the church. We have to reckon ourselves dead. Then number two, how do we get filled? You got to yield. Come here, Brother Gary. Now, Jacob and the angel of the Lord were working. Just stand right there and sort of pull back. And he started pulling back. But the Lord kept a pulling. Finally, way up in the morning, he just fell on the Lord.
Right.
Reckon yourself dead, you yield your total life. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I'm not about yielding. Well, say, preacher, I just can't give it up. How many know Brother Danny Farley? He was out at Duck Pond. That's where I was at first. He was laying across over the choir, laying on the floor. A man from Mississippi was laying across him praying. He pulled out his wallet. I walked over. He handed me two $100 bills. He said, the reason God won't feel me, my money is keeping me from God. He handed me the money. Now I'm talking about yielding everything. Okay. He gave me the $200. He left. Got out in that old pine tree out there. And I run out and caught them. There's about 20 of them. I used to have 20 or 25 come from Houston, Texas. I handed him two $100 bills back. I said, Brother Danny, God wasn't wanting your money. He's wanting you. Here's your $200 back. You got to reckon yourself dead. You got to yield. That means Here, Lord, I'm going to yield to you. Now, about two or three more things in this right here. Are y'all understanding? Okay. Okay. Now, the next thing that I want to say to you, expect a lonely walk. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. It'll be a learning walk. You'll learn, a disciple learns every day. It'll be a leaning walk. You'll cast all your cares. 1 Peter 5:7. You'll lean. Y'all sing that song, Lean on Me? Now here you are in the hospital. They're going down in your heart. You're learning. They'll split you. They split me all up like that. You're learning. Nobody come by. Nobody was at the hospital for nearly a year. One or two people come by. I was over there, just me and God. Pat would come by two or three times a week. I said, Lord, what's going on? He said, you're learning and you're leaning on me. Now let me give you a verse of scripture. Philippians 3:10, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his suffering. Now, it's a lonely walk in that you feel like you're all by yourself. There'll be a crowd around. You learn daily. This guy right here preaching the best he's ever preached after he went down to death. And I know it won't be long till I'll go. Now, not only that, but it's total commitment. Romans 12:1-2. Just give it all. Give it all. I want to ask you tonight, are you willing to give it all? That young man I prayed over, and maybe another, are you willing to give it all? What if the Lord come up here and say, I want you to go full time? Are you willing? We got to have some men that's willing. And there's not a lot of money. And there's no glamour when you got to deal with sin. No glamour. None whatsoever. But it's total commitment. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. I hear independents get up and holler about that. And they're as dead and dried up in a big old 5-gallon can of pizzle dust. And they're killing people every time they preach. Now, here in Matthew 5:6, you got a hunger after God alone. Then I want to give you this. David, Saul had turned on David. And Psalms 42, David said, as a hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth. Now that's not like getting a hard breath. That's when a dog's got its tongue out, or a deer's got it out, and they feel like they breathe their last breath. David was a man after God's own heart. As a heart panteth after the water brook, David said, so panteth my soul after the old God. And three times in Psalm 42, he said, I feel like a cast sheep. What is a cast sheep? That's when he's turned over right before he's going to die. Said it three times. And David felt like he was close to death. What did I say a while ago? You got to reckon yourself dead. I don't expect everybody in here to do what I'm preaching. But these boys right here, Brother Gary, he was young. He was an outlaw. He come in to Shady Acres riding the motorcycle. He had lost it all. He sat down under Brother Jack Woods. Dan Meadows, John Thompson, on and on. I'd go out there and I'd talk to them. And I'd pray with them. I'd go to Dan's house. They got to follow me all over Texas trying to get filled with the Holy Ghost. One day somebody said, Brother Lutzik is a full-time evangelist. Dan Meadows, 35 years, full-time evangelist. What do you want to do for God the rest of your life? What's your ambition for God? I'll say this, I'm done. He asked Willard Thomas, what is your ambition in life? And what he said, I want to go to heaven. Wrote it down on a sheet where he's trying to get a job. What's your ambition? I want to go to heaven. That's good. But you know what I want to do? Oh, I've had a lot of folk to love me, a lot of folk hate me. I want to take somebody with me. One night I was preaching, I'm done, and the fellow right there, sitting right there, he is as mean as a rattlesnake, wasn't he? Remember that man? Run a pawn shop or something. I'm preaching on hell. He had his hands like that's what he's doing, choking me. Right behind that, right there was a woman sitting right there. I'm preaching on hell. That woman screamed as loud as she could scream and dove in that altar. She was in the Navy. And got saved. That man got saved. Now, if you trying to win a popularity contest, you'll never do it. If you want to have a lot of money, you'll never have it. But if you want to win a lot of souls, and I do, I never imagined getting to travel around the world. But it's all because on the top of a mountain, I surrendered my life to God. And God filled me with the Spirit of God. Father, more fortunate only one they be crying than that. Every one of them could have started crying. And I don't mind that. I don't mind that. Now, Brother Gary gave an invitation a while ago, and he was crying and weeping. I'm going to leave this sermon with you. I'm going to get them girls to come up here and sing an old song or somebody, whoever Brother Ed wants. And I'm just going to wait a minute. I've had a terrible, miserable day of praying with this message on my heart. Scared all day. I couldn't even talk when I started praying that boy a while ago. When I stepped up, God opened up my voice box. There's a young man or two in here tonight, and what you're doing, you're looking for God. There's a young woman or two in here tonight, you're looking for God. There's a time and a place where Jacob got filled. There's a time and place where you got saved and you can get filled. I want to give an invitation. And if you want to come and get it started, confess your sins, die to yourself, yield to God, reckon yourself dead, say, Lord, please fill me with the Spirit of God. Now, children, I know I don't have much longer. But I've seen this week what God done at Cinnamon Street. Got people everywhere ministering now. And I'm old. Time for me to go home. What are you going to do with the message tonight? Are you going to lay it all on the altar, husband and wife? I'm afraid to do it. You'll be all right. I watched old brother Jack Woods. Laid it all on the altar. I don't go to a meeting in America, they don't mention his name. He is remembered by many. Jacob's been remembered What about you tonight? What are you going to do with this message? Are you going to yield to God? Say, Lord, fill me. Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock, it'll be open unto you. May God bless you.